to One Dude with a Fantasy.
My Fantasy.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Welcome back to One Dude with a Fantasy, man. 404-726-0929 is the number to get in touch with the program. You can call us. You can text us. Shout out to everybody on the road. It's kind of not frigid. It's not that bad of a morning this morning. Kind of dewy. Temperature sitting in this 50s, so it's not that bad. Shout out to everybody waking up this morning on a Saturday that's headed out to go play softball. My own daughter included, Juice Johnson, if you're out there. I think you're listening. And her little travel team, the Ryan Renegades, headed out to Woodstock to compete in a tournament. Also, shout out to the Norcross Lady Blue Devils, who we also have a game at 12:30. So none of them are probably up getting ready for a game yet. But if you're on the road to go play softball and you're a parent out there driving, bless you. So I wanted to save the Tampa Bay Buccaneers wide receiver situation to finish up the injury report because they need a little bit more time than everybody else. If you did not watch the Bucs game last week, what, Monday Night Football, I think? I think everybody's probably watching it. Mike Evans goes down with a hamstring injury. I think it was Monday Night Football because I had fantasy implications in this one. And because Mike Evans went down, I won. That's how fantasy football went. But Mike Evans goes down after scoring a touchdown with a hamstring injury. This was not one of those hamstring injuries where the receiver kind of tugs at it and they limp off to the sideline. Mike Evans was writhing on the ground in pain. Okay, if you would have asked me, it looked like somebody reached into Mike Evans' leg and just snapped his hamstring right off his leg. Dude was on the ground, rolling around, clutching his hamstring, probably without it being torn, and they have not said that it was torn. It appears to just be a strain. But they also haven't placed him on IR, which is a good thing. So Mike Evans writhing around on the ground in pain, probably the most painful-looking hamstring pull or strain that I've ever seen outside of one just being snapped, which I don't think happens too often. I think they can get torn. It's a rather long muscle on the back of your leg. So Mike Evans, not going to play this week, and I doubt that he plays next week. Hamstring injuries linger. They're tough to come back from. Chris Godwin, who when people ask Todd Bowles why Chris Godwin was in the game, it's a 10-point game in the fourth quarter. Of course, Chris Godwin's going to still be in the game. What do you mean? You're down by 10. You can still come back and win it. They only had like a minute left, but they had already recovered one onside kick. Think about that if you're an NFL head coach. You got to leave your guys in the game. Come on. Chris Godwin, with only a minute left in the game, goes down with a pretty gruesome dislocation of an ankle. Without getting into it too much, they would not show the replay on TV. It did show Chris Godwin kind of just laying on the ground. Then he tries to get up, and he just kind of, you know, he's on pain, hands and knees. You can see that his ankle's kind of facing the wrong direction, so we won't spend too much time on that. Now, how do you replace these guys? We'll start with Mike Evans. Oh, before I do that, let me ADD off real quick. I do have from the text line, 404-726-0929, PPR flex, Chase Brown or Jalen McMillan. Going to get into these guys right now from the 470. Chase Brown does not have a good matchup this week versus the Philadelphia Eagles. So I'm about to explain to you what I think the Bucs receivers' roles are going to be. Jalen McMillan is in that conversation. Another one from the 770, Bateman or Mooney. If Zay Flowers does not play, this is Rashad Bateman all day. If not, I'm rolling out Darnell Mooney, and I'm going to tell you why in Fire and Ice when I get to wide receivers. Everybody remember a couple of weeks ago when the Falcons came Tampa team? Yeah, it was goodness all around. And then another 7-8, do you think Tua should be going back to playing or not? Or do you say, well, he's a grown man, he knows the consequences of playing? This is from Rusty. Thanks for listening again, Rusty. Look, man, do I think Tua should be playing? If Tua wants to play, I do believe that he's a grown-ass man, and he knows the repercussions from going out there and playing in an NFL football game. Who am I to tell him no? I'm not going to sit up here and try to babysit another grown man. He should be not. He's had three concussions that we know of. He seems to get hurt every time he goes out there. His former head coach at Alabama, Nick Saban, on the PMS show yesterday was talking about how Tua when he gets out on the football field, refuses to give up on a play. That's why he gets hurt so much. Even when a play, on the outside looking in, there's nothing that's going to happen. The play is going to be dead. Get rid of the ball. Let's just move on. Tua tries to extend the play too much. He ends up putting himself in harm's way. He gets hurt. All right, so if it's a morality question, I am on the side of he's a grown man, let him play. Do I think he should be playing? Probably not, but what do I know? I'm not a concussion doctor. But let's talk about Tampa real fast. How do you replace a Hall of Fame wide receiver in Mike Godwin? In Mike Evans. Jesus. You don't. All right, what you can try to do is find your wide receiver core to replace both these guys. Chris Godwin was probably wide receiver number three, if I had to guess, on the season because he's having a great season, too. He's out for the season. Mike Evans, you may see again. How do you remember Mike Evans? Well, let's take apart Mike Evans' game and Frankenstein this thing together. Mike Evans is Baker Mayfield's number one goal target. Mike Evans is a touchdown scorer. That's what he does for a living as a wide receiver in the National Football League. So who do I think is going to replace Mike Evans' targets in the red zone, in the end zone? That's going to be Cade Otton, tight end for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He offers Baker Mayfield's second look. He's the biggest guy in the wide receiver core that's left after Mike Evans. Cade Otton was already having a pretty good season as a tight end, or he's had a pretty good couple of weeks strung together. I think that's going to be Cade Otton. Now, another thing that Mike Evans does great is he stretches the field. Mike Evans is like a 6'4", 225 deep threat. Who's going to get that job? I think that's going to be Trey Palmer is going to play on the outside, the Z receiver or what have you, the one that stretches the field. Will he get loose for one or two? He may, but Trey Palmer is number four on the list of available pass catchers for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers if I include Cade Otton. All right. So then how do you replace? So we've got Cade Otton, I think, is going to be the biggest beneficiary to both these guys being out. So he's my number one pass catcher for the Tampa Bay Bucs on this list. All right, so how do you replace Chris Godwin? A lot in the slot in three wide receiver sets where Jalen McMillan was already on the field. Jalen McMillan had already won the number three spot for the Bucs. Now, what has that turned into thus far? Nothing. It has not turned into anything. He hadn't done much with it. He's kind of got the dropsies. All right. Could he benefit now? As when filling in for the slot receiver part of Chris Godwin's game, you may see Jalen McMillan a little bit there, but I think you're going to see Sterling Shepard there mostly. In three wide receiver sets, you're probably going to see Trey Palmer on one side, Jalen McMillan on the other, but you also have Cade Otton on the field. In three wide receiver sets, I think you're going to see McMillan and Trey Palmer on the outside, Sterling Shepard on the inside. Now, look, Sterling Shepard did not make – they signed him off the street. So he had not made an NFL roster. That is important information. But what's also important is that Sterling Shepard and Baker Mayfield went to college together at Oklahoma. They have chemistry. They have a repertoire. You like that French right there, didn't you? All right. So just because of that familiarity, and this is me spitballing here, as long as every other – fantasy analysts, you're going to listen, break apart this Bucs receiver situation, is just spitballing. None of us have any more information than anybody else does. I think it's going to be Cade Otton, Sterling Shepard in a PPR, and that's solely because he's looking. Sterling Shepard will have probably six or seven catches on Sunday, maybe only for 53 yards. Let's hope he gets in the end zone. Then Jalen McMillan, and then Trey Palmer as the deep threat. All right, so there you go. From the 470, normally that question, Chase Brown or Jalen McMillan, it's going to be Chase Brown. But Chase Brown doesn't have a good situation, doesn't have a good matchup in the Philadelphia Eagles. So if you want to roll the dice with Jalen McMillan, you know, go ahead. They're probably similarly, their point totals are similarly probably expected. I mean, we're guessing at this point. What I would do, though, if I'm playing in a PPR, as long as you have running backs in your RB position that you're solid with, I'm probably playing Jalen McMillan. I'm rolling the dice. Kind of all depends on if you need a, you know, Jalen McMillan probably has better upside. Chase Brown probably has the higher floor. All right, we got music playing. All right, so that's my outlook on the Tampa Bay Bucs wide receiver core. This is a confusing situation, so I'm not mad that I just spent like 7 minutes on it. It's fine. What we got to do now is we're going to fly through fire and ice, and we're going to do that. So now, on the other side of this break, remember that Hall of Fame quarterback? Both those Hall of Fame quarterbacks that I told you not to start last week, you could probably start them both this week. Why? Because fantasy football is a week-at-a-time game. We play this game 1 week at a time. I'll be back in 5 minutes. This is One Dude with the Fantasy on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
Now, it's time for Fire and Ice. Which players are on fire? Which players you should put on ice? On One Dude with a Fantasy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back to One Dude with a Fantasy. I am that dude. It's Bo Johnson here with you for one more segment. I tell you what, this show's way too short. 404-726-0929. That is the number. If you want to send me a text, probably can't take any phone calls because we got a lot of information to get to in the next 12 minutes or so. From the text line, from Rusty, he heard us coming going out to Freak on a Leash in that break. That'll certainly wake you up. I'm a big Korn fan. Are you and Abe able to go to Vegas with Randy and Andy? No. Rusty, we are not. For those of you that do not know, I am one of the producers along with my good friend Abe Gordon for the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Monday through Friday, right here on Sports Radio, announcing the game from 11 to 2. Also do some work on the Steakhouse from time to time from 9 to 11. Lots of good content, from 5 a.m. all the way through freaking 5 a.m., 24 hours a day on this here radio station. Lots of good stuff. So, I did get a shout-out on Twitter. I'm at Jedi Sports Radio if you need to get in touch with me over the weekend. I did hear from Mo. It sounds like Mo just woke up, though. You didn't hear the first segment, did you, Mo? When I was bragging about taking down the lone undefeated team in the 929 Fantasies League. That's right. That was me. And then a shout-out to Ed from Lawrenceville. Please don't ever utter another nickname Fricky uses. You are better than that. Ed, you are 100% right. Go Tigers. Thank you, Ed. As my LSU Tigers face off against Texas A&M later on tonight. It's going to be a good one. This is for first place in the SEC. LSU and A&M are the last remaining undefeated SEC teams. LSU's not undefeated, neither is A&M, but in the SEC play, they both are. So thanks for reaching out. All of you that need to get in touch with me over the weekend, that's how you do it. All right, so fire and ice, quarterbacks. All right, who are we icing this week? How about Jared Goff versus the Titans? Jared Goff is quarterback 10 in fantasy points per game, but don't let that fill you. He's third in passing yards per game, second in passer rating. Did you remember the first two games of the Lions season? Jared Goff did not have good football games. Complete duds. He has had three good ones. Week three was kind of right there in the middle, but he has had three good ones in a row. But the Titans have allowed the fifth fewest fantasy points to the quarterback position, and the second fewest pass yards per game. Now, if you do have Jared Goff and your other options out there are not great, the Tennessee Titans secondary is a little bit banged up this evening or this weekend, but the Tennessee Titans do have a great pass defense. Who else are we going to ice this week? We're going to ice the season's number seven quarterback in terms of fantasy points, and that's going to be Geno Smith. Geno struggles against tough defenses, and he does well against good defenses. Well, this is not a good matchup. Geno averages 13.9 points per game against good defenses. The good defenses he's played this season, Broncos, Dolphins, 49ers. He plays the Bills this week, another bad pass defense to play. So they've only allowed one quarterback to exceed 18 points. That was Lamar Jackson. Geno Smith is not Lamar Jackson. Lamar, 24 points in week four versus the Bills. 9 of those points were off of the run game. Lamar, the best running quarterback in the league. Geno Smith does not have that in his repertoire. So, Geno Smith, we are icing. Who are we going to fire up this week? Look here, you can look at me funny all you want. All right, Deshaun Watson gets hurt last week on IR. Going to miss the rest of the season. Who's coming in? And Deshaun Watson's relief, Jameis YOLO Winston. Look here, Baltimore has allowed the most pass yards per game, the third highest passing touchdowns, and the sixth highest pass rating. All right, this is what's kind of weird about the NFL. The Baltimore Ravens have allowed the most pass yards per game in the NFL, but they've allowed the fewest rush yards per game in the NFL. And they are still the best team in the NFL, I feel, as of right now. But you can start Jameis Winston versus the Baltimore Ravens. We all know how Jameis rolls. YOLO. All right, he's going to chuck it. He's probably going to chuck it 40 times. He may throw two interceptions, but he's also going to throw up some goodness there for the Cleveland Browns. All right? Somebody else we're going to start that I was asked about earlier. Tua Tagovailoa versus the Cardinals. If Tua plays, and it's looking like Tua's going to play, Tua's another one of those quarterbacks that does well against bad matchups and not so well against good matchups. Well, this is a good matchup. The Arizona Cardinals give up the seventh most pass yards per game at 237 and the fourth highest passer rating. I see no reason to keep Tua on your bench. It's not like they're going to ease him in to action if he does indeed play. It's not like Snoop Huntley is going to take any work away from Tua Tagovailoa. Tua does have two great receivers that you're going to hear about when we get to wide receivers in Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle that you can also fire up this week. We're also going to start Aaron Rodgers versus the Patriots. Aaron Rodgers has now had a full week of practices with Devontae on the team. The Pats have the ninth highest passer rating and yards per game. I think the on our weekly picks on Friday on the midday show with Andy and Randy, I took the Jets. I don't think they're going to have any time covering this, any problem covering the 7 points versus the Patriots. The Patriots are garbage. All right, they're one of the worst worst defenses in the NFL. Gerard Mayo, their own head coach, called them soft last week. Bill Belichick came to their rescue. If you tell me there's no drama in the NFL, huh? Got something else for you. How about Pat Mahomes versus the Raiders? Okay, listen to me here. The Raiders do have a good defense, and I know this. Let me tell you all the reasons why we have not been starting Pat Mahomes. He's only surpassed 17 fantasy points in one game this season. He's finished outside the top 12 in six of those seven games. He has more interceptions than passing touchdowns, okay? 8-6, respectively. All right? Among 39 qualifying quarterbacks, Mahomes is 15th in pass yards per game, 21st in passing touchdowns, and 24th in passer rating. So, Bo, why are you telling me to start this bum? Look, hadn't been a great year for Pat Mahomes. The Chiefs don't give a crap about your fantasy team, and they don't care about fantasy football production. But do y'all remember before the season started, while we were in training camp mode, the Las Vegas Raiders took to Instagram with a Kermit the Frog puppet that had a wig on it? And we all know, you know, Pat Mahomes kind of sounds like Kermit, and it's kind of easy to make a Kermit the Frog voice impression. Hidey-ho, rubber ducky. You know, I can kind of do it. One of the Las Vegas Raiders cornerbacks with a Pat Mahomes Kermit doll puppet called him a female dog and, among other things, said they weren't intimidated about having to face Pat Mahomes. Why in the world in training camp, if you're an AFC West team, are you going to poke the Kansas City Chiefs? Kansas City Chiefs won the last two Super Bowls. Am I correct on that, Noel? Is that Kansas City Chiefs back-to-back Super Bowl champs? I think that's right, right? Going for the third? Yep. Kansas City Chiefs just obtained DeAndre Hopkins this week. I think that's correct, too. If for nothing else, this is going to be Pat Mahomes' best game of the season in fantasy football. And that's not hard to beat. His best game of the season is like 17 points, as I just told you, maybe 18. But had it been over 18, I would have said he hadn't passed 18 points at once this season. So 17 is some change. Pat Mahomes remembers that. Travis Kelce is going to be on. DeAndre Hopkins is on playing meaningful football. He's going to be fed. Kelce is going to be fed. Kareem Hunt is going to be fed, although it's a difficult situation for Kareem Hunt, but you can start him because he's going to get like 30 carries. I think the Chiefs are going to smash versus the Raiders. I think they're going to take them out to the woodshed and do what they do. The Raiders' offense, outside of Brock Bowers and maybe Jacoby Myers, is garbage. All right? This is just my own personal gut feeling here. If you draft Mahomes and you have somebody else you've been starting, I think it's safe to play Pat Mahomes this week, and that's nothing but me saying I think Pat Mahomes wants to go out there secretly. He's not going to tell you this. I think he wants to go out there and hand it to the Las Vegas Raiders, so that's what he's going to do. On to running backs. Nick Chubb versus the Ravens. I mentioned how the Ravens have given up the most pass yards per game. Well, they have given up the fewest rush yards per game at 68. Nick Chubb's second game back as an NFL running back. I don't think you want to start Nick Chubb. He got 11 carries. He scored a touchdown last week for the Cleveland Browns on his way back. His touchdown was very intentional. They wanted to get him in the end zone. They may do that again, but I just don't see him having a whole lot of success against the best rush defense in the NFL. You've got other players other than Nick Chubb, unless you're just decimated by injury, which you may be, where you don't have to start Nick. All right, Rashad White versus the Falcons on ice. The Falcons have only allowed 3 rushing touchdowns this season, and they've given up the 7th fewest rush points in the running back position. As Abe Gordon makes his way into the studio, on his way out to a cruise, don't know how you're going to pay attention to the next 4 hours of radio, Abe. When all if I'm leaving after today's show to go on a cruise, that's all I'm thinking about is the cruise. But that's why Abe Gordon gets the better time slot than I do, and I'm on at 7 a.m. Don't like Rashad White versus the Falcons. Bucky Irvin has a foot injury. He has not been ruled. They have 3 running backs over there in Tampa that they're probably going to be in a 3-headed committee. If you're in a 3-headed committee and you're playing a defense that has only allowed 3 rush touchdowns this season, that tells me you don't want to play any of them if you don't have to. Who else we're going to ice in the running back position? Brian Robinson versus the Bears. The Bears have given up the 11th fewest rush yards per game, playing from behind here. I think all over the Washington Commanders today, Jaden Daniels does not start and Marcus Mariota does. I think if Marcus Mariota starts this game, you can still probably play Terry McLaurin. As Marcus Mariota did last Sunday, look, whoever they were playing wasn't prepared. We all know Marcus Mariota, the real Marcus Mariota, if you're listening to me, anywhere in the vicinity of the metro area of Atlanta. All right, the guy threw a pass from his back last season. How about that guy? All right, so who are we firing up? Running backs this season, or this week, Javonte Williams versus the Panthers. Javonte smashes against good matchups. This is a great freaking matchup. The Panthers have allowed the most rush yards per game and given up the most fantasy points to the running back position per game. Last week, they allowed 214 yards on the ground to the Commanders. Oh, do we remember 2 weeks ago? Abe, you just changed it off of freaking Nova, dude. I was watching Jupiter and its 4 moons. Y'all know that one of Jupiter's moons, Europa, if there's ever going to be life sustained anywhere in our known galaxy, that Europa is probably going to be where it's going to be. Liquid water is said to be beneath thousands of feet of ice on Jupiter's second biggest moon, Europa. Anyway, Javonte Williams, 2 weeks ago, y'all remember Bijan and Tyler Allgeier tearing the Carolina Panthers up to the tune of 206 rush yards, if I'm not mistaken. Bijan almost gets 100. Tyler Allgeier eclipses 100. Well, that's who Javonte Williams plays this week. And I don't see Audric Estime, if he even plays in this game, being much of a threat to Javonte Williams. I think Javonte Williams probably has upwards of 20 carries this week versus the Panthers, and he is in a smash spot. I mentioned this earlier, Kareem Hunt versus the Raiders. The Raiders are the only defense to have surrendered a 15-point performance to a running back in every game this season. He might only get around that 15 points as the Raiders do have a decent defense, but their offense is garbage. The defense is going to be on the field so much. They're going to get tired. You can safely play Kareem Hunt. I probably didn't even need to add him onto this list. Who are we going to ice as far as wide receivers? We got about 2 minutes to go through this list. Xavier Leggett versus the Denver Broncos. The Denver Broncos have given up or held perimeter receivers to the 6th lowest PPR points, 5th lowest yards per game. No receivers even eclipsed 18 points in a game versus the Broncos this season. And oh yeah, Pat Surtain, too, is healthy, probably the best cornerback in the NFL. Pat Surtain has shadowed 4 guys this season because when they play teams that don't have great wide receivers, he just sticks to a side. Yeah, DK Metcalf, 3 receptions, 29 yards. George Pickens, 2 receptions, 29 yards. Mike Evans, 2 receptions, 17 yards. Wilson, 5 receptions, 41 yards. You don't like Xavier Leggett versus the Broncos. Deontay Johnson is out, like I mentioned earlier. Xavier Leggett's going to be the number one. I don't think that's going to matter. Don't start him. Marvin Harrison Jr. versus the Dolphins. Look, this has been – Marvin Harrison Jr. and Kyler Murray have not been on the same page. I don't think that's going to happen today either. Miami surrendered the fewest fantasy points to wide receivers, including the 5th fewest to the perimeter, 3rd fewest to the slot, and only 1 wide out. DK Metcalf has reached 15 points against the Miami Dolphins. Do not like this spot for Marvin Harrison Jr. We don't know if Jalen Ramsey's going to shadow Marvin Harrison Jr., but he may not have to as the Miami secondary is fully healthy. You also don't want to start Pop Douglas versus the Jets. Look, the Jets have allowed the 5th fewest fantasy points to receivers, 2nd fewest to the perimeter, 13th fewest to the slot. Nobody that catches passes for the New England Patriots is startable outside of Hunter Henry possibly, and that's a big maybe right there. All right, but if you're desperation mode in a 16-team league, Pop Douglas is the guy. Jalen Polk's not even going to play, but I would look otherwise. So who are we going to fire up this week? How about Tank Dell versus the Colts? Look, I get it. You're sitting there saying to yourself, he didn't even score a point last week. Why are you telling me to start Tank Dell? Look, Tate last week, toss it up into a little ball, throw it over your left or the right shoulder, whichever one you think you're going to get good luck at. Just a bad game for the Texans offense. They threw for like 80 yards. All right. Tank Dell still has 3 red zone targets in his last 4 games. Indianapolis has allowed the 12th most receiving yards per game to perimeter wide receivers. That's where Tank Dell plays. Last week was just an anomaly, an epiphany, whichever one of those you want to choose to do it. The Texans' offense is better than 80 yards through the air. All right, has not been a great one for the Texans' offense, but with Nico Collins on IR, fire up Tank Dell this week. How about how about Waddle and Tyreek? I don't need you to start. Or I don't need to tell you to start Tyreek Hill. I never took him out of my starting lineup, even though Snoop Huntley's been starting. But Jalen Waddle, he's been on our bench. Hopefully he's been on your bench for the last month. Get him in there. If Tua plays. Caveat, if Tua plays. How about the Packers wide receivers versus the Jags? They're all healthy. Which one are you going to start? I have no clue. But the Jags have surrendered the 4th most fantasy points to wide receivers, including the most to the perimeter, 5th most to the slot. They're top 6 in points allowed to the both left and right receivers. They're top 5 in catches, yards, and touchdowns allowed to the wide receiver position. 8 receivers have produced 15-plus fantasy points versus Jacksonville. Look, Dobbs, Watson, and Wicks work on the outside. Reed works in the middle. He's the guy that I want. But if you have Dobbs, who's had 2 great games in a row, I guess you can play him. He may be the guy. I don't think Dobbs is an every week starter, but this week he may be. Then how about to close the show out, we start all the Falcons receivers versus the Tampa Bay Bucs. And when I say all, I don't really mean all. But this is the Atlanta Falcons stat lines. Last time they played the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, it was only like 2 weeks ago. Drake London, 12 for 154 and a score. Darnell Mooney, 9 for 105 and 2 scores. Kadarius Hodge, 2 for 67. Ray McLeod, 6 for 66. Kyle Pitts, 7 for 88. The guys I would start almost without hesitation, Drake London, get him in there. Darnell Mooney, probably so. Kyle Pitts, get him in there. The other guys, if you're in a deep league, speaking of Kadarius Hodge and Ray McLeod, if you're in a deep league, you need a flex play. Sure. If you want to start any of those guys over any of the guys that I mentioned in ICE, Xavier Leggett, Marvin Harrison Jr., I don't know if I would start Kadarius Hodge over Marvin Harrison Jr., but I would start him over Pop Douglas. There you go. That's one dude with a fantasy. College football game time is next. Abe Gordon and Garrett Chapman are already in here staring at me, wanting to get on the microphone and tell you about how bad LSU is going to whoop A&M later for first place in the SEC, baby. I'll see you all next week. It's been one dude with a fantasy on Sports Radio 910 The Game.